As you waited hours in a hospital emergency department, what did you notice about the hospital you were in? Were there paintings hanging on the walls? Was there a window? Everything in that room, even the building itself, before you even walked in, was designed for a reason. But what you may not realize is the effect that these designs are having on you. What goes into designing a hospital that doesn't just have an emergency department and a surgical ward and enough parking and specialist equipment and perhaps even a helipad, but also a space where healing is possible mentally as well as physically? Dr. Stephanie Lidicote is a lecturer in architectural design at Swinburne University of Technology. She's here to talk with you this morning about modern hospital design. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya. Thank you for having me along today.
Oh, thanks so much for joining us. I'm wondering, in the past, has function always driven the design elements of a hospital?
Look, function is always a part of how we think about hospitals, but there's been a real shift recently more towards what we call evidence-based design. So that's where we're using research to understand the connections between how we design these buildings and these various design features, and our well-being. So that's how we feel in the space, our healthcare experiences, and realizing that physical health is just one part of overall health. And so, of course, a hospital has to function well. It has to be able to provide a service that meets the needs of its patients and their family members and the staff. But it has to provide aspects that contribute to our psychosocial needs as well. So we're seeing a shift from what we used to call patient-centered care, so that's where we're focusing on the individual of the patient. We're moving more towards person-centered care, so that's where we start to unpack some of these psychosocial needs as well as those physical needs associated with the diagnosis. And we start to look at how it's not just about that individual person, it's about their family members. They're often affected. They may have children, they may have other needs outside their diagnosis that are certainly part of that healthcare experience, and that impacts how we might design these kinds of facilities.
Yeah, so what type of things, when we're looking at that person-centered care, what type of things are included in design when we look at that?
That's a great question. Well, look, I think what I'll do first is just point out that there's a variety of scales at which we would examine these different design interventions. So at a very broad scale, we would think about the layout and the wayfinding. So many of you have probably gone into a hospital and they're often very labyrinthine.
And got very lost, yeah.
Got very, very lost. And of course, when we're arriving in a really distressed state already, we don't want to add to that anxiety. And getting lost in a hospital when you're there with maybe an unwell child, or maybe you're even there against your will, if it's a mental health presentation, you know, that's really frightening. So thinking about the layout and the wayfinding is really important.
Yeah.
We have, we focus on connections to nature and to natural light. So there's a lot of studies that tell us that nature is restorative and it improves, you know, recovery outcomes from surgery. It reduces our pain perception after surgery. So access to that throughout the hospital journey is really, really important.
Yeah, because that's sort of the plan, right, is to get people in and out, but in the wellest of ways rather than just the quickest of ways.
Exactly. And also we look at things like how can we normalise this experience and how can we provide what's called positive distraction. So again, a hospital is often a very alien environment and it feels very different, and that can be quite threatening in a variety of ways. So how can we use design to contribute to a family's sense of, well, this is a little bit more normal? You know, we often have families living on a ward for months. So how can we allow them some liberty to perhaps cook a meal together? And how might that help them to be a little bit more resilient?
Yeah.
How might we provide some distraction? Often we see in children's hospitals things like animal enclosures, meerkats at the Royal Children's Hospital.
I think we need that in adult hospitals as well, just quietly. It shouldn't just be for the kids. Yeah.
You know what? Absolutely right. And these things, they give the impression that the hospital is not just about you know, needles and surgeries and horrible things. It's actually about there's some wonderful, exciting attractions here too. There's opportunities to meet other children. There's opportunities to play. Mm. And that's really reframing the experience and the expectations of what a hospital can be. Mm. And it's making it less frightening.
I imagine for an architect, like taking on a hospital project is quite intense, because you do have all those medical needs and being driven from that perspective. But then to add this person-centred care as well and think about what's going to be best for the patient, that is a juggle.
Look, it is, but remember that both of those aspects are trying to achieve the same thing. So, you know, we provide a service in a way that is going to best meet the needs of the patients and their family, and of course the staff providing that service, who are really important here too. So it's just about considered design for how we deliver that in the most supportive way. Yes, we have a series of functions that need to occur, but, you know, let's design that patient room so it's the most welcoming and inviting and supportive that it can be. Mm. And that's not really about, spending more. It's not about making it larger or grandiose. It's really just about thinking carefully about good design. What do these people need in that environment?
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that price tag element, because I think straight away anyone thinks that it has to be a big redevelopment, or it's a knockdown, or you need to wait till there's a brand new hospital. And we know that some of our communities will not be getting new hospitals. So can you make these changes, you know, to existing hospitals that is in quite an affordable way?
Yes, look, absolutely. And I think that's often a trap that we fall into, is that we think good design costs the earth, and also that it has to be brand new, not a retrofit project. But you can do really wonderful things. And my research, particularly in the area of mental health, has shown that often it's really subtle changes to an environment can have such a profound difference. Mm. Just little signs that someone has taken a level of care in that environment will indicate that you are important, that your health is important, that your mental health is important here, and that you're welcome. And so that might be something as simple as putting up some artwork. It might be something as simple as putting some cushions on a chair so that it feels homely and relaxing and like someone's taken that care, or putting a vase of fresh flowers. So these are examples from a counselling setting, but these will drastically change that service user's perceptions of that environment and make them feel more welcome and contribute to recovery-oriented practice.
As you said, we're seeing it done quite well in our children's hospitals in capital cities. Are we starting to see our local hospitals change when it comes to design and what they're presenting patients with in a stay experience?
Look, we are certainly seeing things changing, and you know, it's important to remember that the field of evidence-based design, so how we use research to inform the design of these facilities, it's a relatively new area of research. And it's very complex. We're still understanding the relationship between our built environments and our healthcare outcomes. Mm. And it's not, you know, a straightforward connection often. So whilst we are seeing changes, but it's still very much in growth and development. And what we really need is architects and also government and policymakers to engage with people like myself, people who research in this area. And we need to make sure that this research is being translated into these built environments so that it is making that really positive difference.
Stephanie, really great to chat with you about this today, especially as Maitland prepares to see what its brand new hospital will look like into the future. Thank you so much for your time.
Not a worry. Thank you, Kaya.
Dr. Stephanie Lidicote there. She's a lecturer in architectural design at Swinburne University of Technology, talking about just how hospital design, both for brand new hospitals, for existing hospitals as well, could be focused a little bit more around you.